Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
And all of a sudden, Job wasn't running around saying, I want an explanation. The bigness of God, the sovereignty of God explained all of that. He didn't say, I want vindication. Now the grace of God covered all of that. He said, I knew you as Elohim, God in general. He said, now through my suffering, I know you as Yahweh, a personal God.
The truth is, God's plan is perfect, even if you don't always understand it. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today on The Winning Walk, Dr. Young concludes his message, The Lessons Learned by Job, and shares proven truth to help you trust that God loves you and he knows exactly what he's doing in your life. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in just a moment. Welcome back to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Before we jump into today's message, we'd love to share a powerful resource straight from Dr. Young to help you shift your perspective. The right perspective can help you find calm in a storm and trust God in the midst of it. That's what Dr. Young wants to help you experience by sending you his booklet, Hope in the Storms of Life, because understanding the storm you're in helps you know how to weather it. We'll send you Hope in the Storms of Life as thanks for your gift today, to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy of Hope in the Storms of Life when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, The Lessons Learned by Job, Part 2.
God mentions six animals and five birds. And he talks about these animals being born and how they're fed and how they function. He said, can you run even the animal world, Job? Do you have that kind of ability? Job's silent. Of course he wasn't there when he created the world. Of course he didn't put the stars in space. Of course he didn't put the sea down. Of course he can't maintain all the animal world and the ecological world that exists. God knew that. And God just lays it all out to him until finally, you get over in chapter 40, then the Lord said to Job, will the fault finder, that's Job, contend with the Almighty? Let him who reproves God answer. Otherwise, Job has been complaining for all these chapters about God, hasn't he? And then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am insignificant. He said, I'm nothing. What can I reply to you? I lay my hand on my mouth, and once I have spoken, I will not answer even twice, and I will add nothing more. Job was telling all of his friends to be quiet, quit talking. Now he said, I'm going to be quiet. I am a nothing. I am a nobody. Well, you say, surely God's through with Job now. No, he's not. Look at verse 6. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. See, he's still in the middle of a hurricane. Now, gird up your loins like a man. I will ask you and you instruct me. He said, stand up there, Job. Pull your pants back up. I'm not through instructing you. Will you really annul my judgment, verse 8? Will you condemn me that you may be justified? By the way, God is saying, Job, will you condemn me as God so you'll be justified? Now, little side note here. The little temporary answer is no. God shouldn't be condemned so Job could be justified, right? That is the micro answer. Isn't it what God asked him? But in the macro answer, the answer is yes. Because God in Christ was condemned so we could be justified. See? Now, then God goes ahead and says some wonderful things. And can you thunder with a voice like his? Or can you talk like God, Job? Adorn yourself with eminence and dignity and clothe yourself with honor and majesty. Pour out the overflowings of your anger and look on everyone who is proud and make him low. Look on everyone who is proud and humble him and tread down the wicked where they stand. Hide them in the dust of death. Job, can you bind them in hidden places? If you can do this, Job, then I will confess to you that your own right hand can save you. What's he saying? He said, Job, how big a right arm do you have? We'd say down in Mississippi, how big a old boy are you? Just how big are you, Job? That's what God is asking him. And then God does the most remarkable thing to me in the whole book. It's not particularly profound, but it's remarkable. You know what he does? He introduces the hippopotamus and the crocodile. He said, Job, how are you at training hippos? Have you had any success with that? You think you could train a hippopotamus? And he goes on and describes the merits of a hippopotamus. And when he gets through a chapter with the hippopotamus, God goes on and says, what about the crocodile? You know, he's a pretty tough dude too. How do you handle him, Job? How do you care for their food and their welfare and their birth? Everything. How do you handle a hippopotamus? How do you handle a crocodile? And by the way, what is God doing? God is saying, Job, were you there with me creating the world? No. Are you running? Are you able to run the world and all the systems and the seasons, the snow and the animal? No, I can't. Well, surely you can handle two of my big old boys I got there in the world, the hippopotamus and the crocodile. I mean, if you made, surely you've got this much. Is your arm not that strong? Job says, No. I'm not. Interesting. And then look what Job says, chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? By the way, that was the question, same question asked. God asked Job, who is this who hides counsel? Who is this ignorant person who's given all this advice to God, to me, says Lord, and doesn't know what they're talking about? Job is saying, the implied here, I'm the one, I'm the dummy. You know, I'm the one that's ignorant. I'm the one that's misinformed. I'm the one that's out of step. I'm the one that's overstepped my bounds. And then he says, therefore, just as Job, I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. And Job says, the Lord, hear now, and I will speak. I will ask you, and you instruct me. I have heard you by the hearing of my ear. Now my eyes see you. Therefore I retract and I repent in dust and in ashes. What's he saying? He said, I knew you as Elohim, God in general. He said, now through my suffering, I know you as Yahweh, a personal God. And all of a sudden, Job wasn't running around saying, I want an explanation. The bigness of God, the sovereignty of God explained all of that. He didn't say, I want vindication. Now the grace of God covered all of that. And I wish we could read the rest of the chapter. It goes on like this. God looks at the three friends of Job and said, you guys are way off base. You go make sacrifice to me, and if Job prays for you, I will forgive you. And they made sacrifices, and Job prayed for them. And it says the minute that Job prayed for his friends, his health was returned, and all of his brothers and his sisters and his other friends and people who'd known the greatest man in the East, they show back up, and everyone brings to Job a ring and a blessing.
You're listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young, and there's more powerful teaching ahead, so stay with us. Before we dive back into today's teaching, has it ever felt like your whole life was just blown off course? The Apostle Paul knew that feeling all too well. In Acts 27, Paul planned on landing safely in Rome, but instead he ended up shipwrecked on an island. Paul had one thing going for him, though: trust. Dr. Young's new booklet, Hope in the Storms of Life, will help you walk in confidence knowing that God is in control no matter what situation you're facing. We'd like to send you this inspiring resource as our way to thank you for your support today. Your gift will help The Winning Walk continue encouraging you and people everywhere with the proven truth of God's Word. So call today to give and request your copy of Hope in the Storms of Life. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255, or text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Now here's a sneak peek at the teaching coming up right after the break.
Because what happened to Job? He forgot that God has the whole world in His hands.
That's next on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So, we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is winningwalk. That's winningwalk. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with more of today's message, The Lessons Learned by Job.
A young man, brilliant, high school student, lived on the East Coast, athlete, musician, expert violinist, goes to school on the West Coast. He was always arrogant and hard to control and egotistical. He had so many gifts. Well, the West Coast, he got with the music crowd and the athletic crowd. He was accepted everywhere, and he became more egotistical, more independent. And suddenly his whole life got turned around. And he came back home for Christmas. And when he came back home, his mom, his dad, his two younger brothers saw that, boy, Bill is all messed up. He's destroying our family. He's disrupting harmony and unity. He has no respect for mom or dad, no sense of discipline. He's just throwing everything in the face of everybody. It feels so superior and arrogant. Till finally one day, his father said, Bill, come and sit down with me. He sat him down in his study. He said, Bill, take the wallet out of your pocket. Take the keys to the cars out of your pocket. Everything you have in that wallet, I've given to you. That car, I've given to you. Your bank account, everything there is mine. I want it all back. He said, none of the clothes that you have, you cannot go get them. He said, the violin, I gave that to you. You did not earn it. Your money that's spent on tuition in college, I've been giving it. It's no longer there. You have gone against everything we have taught you as our son, and you have rebelled in our family, and I want you to get out of this house and take with you only your shoes and the clothes that you have on. You have nothing else. Everything you have, I have given to you, and you've shown no respect and no appreciation, and you've disrupted our home, and you are not welcome in this place again. Until you come back and ask for our forgiveness and come under the loving authority of this family. Without a word, the boy took the money out of his pocket, took his wallet out, put his car keys, and walked out of the door with nothing. He walked down the street, 4 or 5 blocks, he kept walking, started to think how he would live now as a street person. He began to think how he would pursue his education. He began to think where he would eat that night. He had no money. And finally, about 10 or 12 blocks away, as everything was getting dark in the middle of the night, he received a liberal education. And he turned around with all of his giftedness and all of his pride and all of his brokenness and went back and knocked on the door of his own home. His mom and dad, his brothers came, and in tears he said, "I was wrong. I am sorry. Please forgive me. I love you." And his parents said, "I love you." Repentance makes a world of difference. I don't know about you, but for a good while now, I've been basically negative. I look at the world, the conflicts, nationally, internationally, I'm negative. I go at the economy, and I am negative. I look at every situation around, and I'm suddenly developing a doomsday atmosphere. I'm developing the conspiracy theorist to the ultimate degree. And I'm just negative, negative, negative about a lot of things. But in studying Job, I remembered the basic premise of Job. And all of a sudden, everything, the way I see this world, is changing. Because I remembered exactly what Job learned. When he was suffering, when he was pessimistic, when he was down on everybody and everything and his whole life was destroyed, he wasn't loved, he wasn't accepted, he was sick, he was terminally ill, he was dying. Job, what does Job say? It says one thing to Job. It says, "Job, your suffering didn't come as a result of sin, but in your suffering you sinned." Because what happened to Job? He forgot that God has the whole world in his hands. And sometimes we don't know what he is up to and what's going wrong with this world. But I can tell you one thing. God in his love and grace and sovereignty still has this whole world in his hands. So you know what we have to learn to do? There was a guy who played the piano. He was a young man in the New England Conservatory of Music. Boy, he was gifted. And he was playing one of the preludes of Chopin. And he was seated there playing magnificently, and the professors and the audience was watching him. And as he was playing, the professor said, "Every note is right. He understands the music. He knows the history of the music. But something's wrong with his playing." And suddenly the professor got it. And he interrupted him. And he said, "Let me tell you what's wrong with your playing." Young man stops. He said, "You are a two buttocks piano player. The only way you're going to be the musician that you have the potential of becoming, you become a one buttocks piano player." He said, "You've got to let your body move and flow with the music." And he said, he suddenly became, in the next little chord or two, a one buttocks piano player. And he said it was supernatural. He flowed with the music. There was a romance there. There was a drama there. There was a passion there. Instead of being a two buttocks player, and that's what we become. Oh, there's a flat note. There's a sharp note. There's a bad report. There's an unhappy situation. There's more conflict. There's more disease. Oh, my goodness, look what that congressman said. And we become two buttocks livers in the symphony of life. And God would say, "Let me tell you something. I've got you like I had Job in the middle of my hands, and you didn't even know it. You've got to flow with the rhythm of life in my will, in my service, and in the symphony of life." Job learned it, and we have to learn to become one buttocks players, and it'll work every single time.
Lessons learned by Job. Today's message from Dr. Ed Young will continue in just a moment. But right now, we want to remind you about a special resource available to you, Hope in the Storms of Life. It isn't easy to see trials as opportunities, but with the right perspective, that's what they are in God's hands. Dr. Young wants to help you have confidence in the face of life's storms so you can weather any situation knowing that God is in control. We'd love to send you this encouraging resource as thanks for your donation today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word coming your way and going out to others all over the world through the Winning Walk. So call now to give and request your copy of Hope in the Storms of Life. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. And stay with us. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young returns after this short break. Welcome back. You're listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Visit our website for resources to help you walk the winning walk with Christ. Visit winningwalk.org. You can also request prayer, stream messages 24/7, and learn more about Dr. Young. Also, sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional when you go to winningwalk.org. And on Twitter, follow us for more daily encouragement. Our username, Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. This is The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We've heard the message today, the lessons learned by Job, and Dr. Young joins me in the studio now. Dr. Young, we learned that God never directly answered any of Job's questions, something I had never really thought about before. What would you say to someone listening today who's asking questions of God like Job did? Maybe they're not getting answers right now.
Well, so many times the questions we ask are not really the questions we want to have answered. Look at Jesus. Jesus didn't answer questions that were asked. He'd always return it on the person who's asking the question. And that you don't question God. You don't question God's will, God's sovereignty. We just say, you know, Lord, speak, thy servant heareth. That's the best way to do it. And we learn to do that. We can stop questioning God. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so that my ways are higher than man's ways. We have to remember that. There is a mystery about God. We know God. He's revealed himself in Jesus Christ. But yet, there's so much, much more. In 1 Corinthians 13, Wayne, there's a little verse down there that says, I see through a glass darkly, but then we'll see face to face. That's heaven. That's when the perfect comes. Mm-hmm. And then he says, that as we have been known, we will know. In this life, we will not know. We'll not have all those questions answered, but we will know as we have been known, and that's when we, in Christ, all die and get to heaven. So, who am I to ask God a question? Who am I to question the sovereignty, the will, the purpose of the Almighty? That's far beyond anyone's pay scale in this life. Questions are answered, to be sure, in the Bible. Basic questions that we need. But to say that I've got all my questions answered, that's not going to happen for a thinking person as long as there's human life. When we graduate, hey, we'll know fully as we have been known.
Well, Dr. Young, I can't let this one get by today because you gave that illustration of the young piano player. You remember that illustration that they said he was playing, I believe you said double buttocked, right?
Well, he was just sitting there playing sort of, complacency, just getting all the right notes. But his instructor said, put yourself into it. But also we said, you know, lean on one buttocks at a time. Don't try to do too much. And he was saying a lot of things in that silly little illustration to put passion into what you do, because after all, we are ambassadors of the King.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope the Holy Spirit is moving through today's message to help you in your own winning walk with Christ. And we'd love to help you pursue an even deeper trust in God by sending you Dr. Young's booklet, Hope in the Storms of Life. This encouraging resource will equip and encourage you to turn your trials into triumphs by trusting in God and resting in Him through life's storms. And we're excited to send you a copy as thanks for your gift to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy of Hope in the Storms of Life. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Listen in next week for more proven truth from God's Word. Have a great weekend.